to you. In surrender I must leave my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name to the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the by this thankful heart.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our family service. Today we are thinking about how God can use us even when we are afraid.
Shall we pray? Dear God, thank you for bringing us together today. Help us to put aside whatever has happened over the last week and any worries we may have about what is coming up next week. Help us to focus on worshipping you and listening to what you want us to learn. Amen. I actually get to see the birthday box for the first time. So is there any children or young people that have had a birthday in the last couple of days or have a birthday coming up? Am I going to be and have any luck? I don't think I am.
Yeah, one of
them. Is there one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So is that, oh, brilliant. Sorry?
Luisa.
And Luisa. Oh, so there's some adult birthdays. Brilliant. Well, we need to sing happy birthday then if there's some adult. Yay. Thank you.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday, God bless you, happy birthday to you.
Okay, we're now going to have a time of worship and we're going to sing three songs. The first song, Mighty to Save, says, so take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, fill my life again. The second song, Battle Belongs, reminds us that the battle belongs to God. And the really powerful words that nothing can stand against the power of our God. We will then go on and sing Waymaker. So I'll pass over to the worship team. Thank you.
Failing, let mercy follow.
my God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen. The whole world sing. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. See my victory. When all I see is a mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And if you are for me, who can be against me? For Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. When all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. I see the cross, God, you see the empty tomb. So when I'll fight on my knees, with my hands lifted high, oh God, the battle belongs to you. And every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night, oh God, the battle belongs to you. Mighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against
is keep a light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you.
In the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Okay, we're now going to do one of our action songs, which we did do last month. So Bex is just going to come over and talk us through the actions first of all. Thank you.
Okay, so yes, as Lisa said, we did do this song last month.
Let's get the children down first.
Yes.
Children, down. Thank you, children, if you want to come down and make your way here, please. Thank you. Oh, actually, you're very keen. Very keen, actually.
No, I'm going to put my hair up.
It's going to get, whoa, that's really loud. It's very warm in here, and I'm going to get really, really hot, so hence I need to put my hair up. A bit of hairdressing during the service. Okay. So this song is called God Can Do Anything, Anything At All. Why is it buzzing at me? Stand back a little bit. Is that going to be any better? All right. It is deceptively simple, but it does get quite fast. So that is where the challenge comes. Okay, so the actions, they go like this. I'll show you the actions, and then if you repeat them with Lisa, then you know what you're doing. It gives you a chance to practice. So it goes like this. God can do anything, anything at all.
God can do anything, do anything, anything at all.
We repeat it. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him and nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. See, said it was really, really easy. Okay, next bit is don't put him in a box. Don't shove him in a corner. Don't you limit what he can do. And then we repeat it, so let's do that all together. Don't put him in a box. Don't shove him in the corner. Don't you limit what he can do. That's it. That's all there is to it. So I'm going to take the microphone off now. And we are going to stand up.
Don't get too hot. It does get quite fast. So, okay, on your feet. If we can have the music, please, nice and loud. And let's
box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. God can do anything, anything at all. Anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him, but nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. God can do anything. Don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in the box and shove him in the corner, don't limit what he can do.
Yeah. Right. That. Okay. So you had the really, really fast bit. So JJ, Kurt or Dami, can we take it back to the beginning and go from the beginning? Okay.
Let's see you beat that then, clever pants.
Don't shove him in a corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in a corner, don't you limit what he can do.
God can do anything, anything at all. God can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for him, but nothing is too small. God can do anything, anything at all.
Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in a corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in a box, don't shove him in a corner, don't you limit what he can do. Box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in the box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do.
I can do anything, anything at all. I can do anything, anything at all. Nothing is too big for me, nothing is too small. I can do anything, anything at all.
Don't put him in the box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do. Don't put him in the box, don't shove him in the corner, don't you limit what he can do.
Okay, so before we start our looking at the Bible story, if you do have a phone with you, can you get it out your bag, out your pockets, just so it's ready for a little bit later in the story? And children, if you grab one of those lights that's on there, so come and grab one of those and just sit with it in your lap. Brilliant, okay. Now don't be tempted to have a look at any notifications you've had, you just need it for later on. Okay, thank you. Okay, So today we are going to be looking at parts of Gideon's life, which is found in Judges 6 and 7. And I'm hoping there's going to be some pictures that are going to come up to help us do the story. Oh, there we are. Brilliant. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. Now, the people of Israel were... The people of Israel were hiding in caves from the Midianites, who had ridden their camels into Israel. They had taken the sheep, cows, and donkeys and trampled on the corn as soon as it was planted. The Israelites were frightened of the Midianites. There were too many of them to count. God loved the people of Israel, but they had broken their promise to love him and to live as he wanted. They called out to God to help them, and he did through a man called Gideon. So Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Got the next picture? What's that? There we are. Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. Okay. And then if we go on to the next one. There we are. Okay. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why has this all happened to us? Where are all his miracles to save us, like we heard of in the old days? God has forgotten us. He has abandoned us and given us to the Midianites." Okay. The Lord said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel." "You can't be talking to me," Gideon stammered. "I'm no brave and mighty man." But God knew what he was doing. He always does. "You're the man, all right," God explained. "I will be with you. The Midianites have my people surrounded, and I want you to round up an army to stop them." Gideon did what God told him. Gideon blew a loud trumpet, and to his surprise, over 30,000 men agreed to join him. How on earth was Gideon going to be able to chase out such a huge number of enemies from his country? Gideon and his men stood on the hillside and looked over the valley where the enemy's camp was spread. Tents and more tents, as far as your eye could see. The task seemed impossible. "Gideon," God called, "you have too many men." You might have thought 30,000, perfect, let's go for it. But nope, God said there's too many. "I want you to send some of them away." "There are more Midianites than I can count," Gideon stammered. "I need all the help I can get." But God knew what he was doing. He always does. "I am all the help you need," God said. "So tell the men who were frightened to go home." Gideon did what God told him, and when he had finished, there were only 10,000 left. Gideon, God called, "you still have too many men. So here's what I want you to do." God listened to God's plan. Then he led his men to the river and told them to have a drink. Some soldiers lapped up the water like dogs. Gideon sent them home. Others got down on their knees and scooped up the water with their hands. Those were the soldiers Gideon kept. And when they had finished, there were only 300 left. "Gideon," God called, "now we are ready to fight the Midianites." "But there are thousands of them," Gideon stammered, "and only 300 of us. How can we possibly win?" "You can't," God said, "not without my help. And that's what I want you to see. Now listen, here's my plan." Later that night, Gideon led his 300 men to the edge of the Midianite camp. In one hand, every soldier carried an earthenware pot with a flaming torch inside. There wasn't a sword in sight. Okay, this is the bit where, can you get your phones out and put your torch on? Children, if you put your lights on. Okay, if you want to come up to here as well. So put your torch on and you're going to hide it in your other hand, like that's the pot, okay? So everyone, adults, get your phones out, get your torches on, hide it in the pot. So children, if you want to come up onto the platform. Children, come on the platform. That's it, and hide yours so it's like it's in the pot. That's it, if you go spread over that way a bit so there's no one behind me. Okay, so hide your the light in the pot. Okay. Now, at Gideon's signal, the soldiers blew their trumpets, smashed their pots and shouted, "For the Lord and for Gideon." Okay, so I'm going to count down from three and you're going to pretend that you're smashing your pot, reveal your torch, that's everybody, and then you're going to say, we're going to shout out, "For the Lord and for Gideon," okay? So we're going to go 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to smash our pots and say, "For God and for Gideon," okay? Is everybody ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1, smash your pot, and then, "For God and for Gideon." Let's say that one more time, "For
God and for Gideon."
Fantastic. See all the lights all around. So that's what the Midianites would have seen. All this, it would have been pitch black, so we'd have seen it even more than we can see it now. And they would have had all those lights all around them, all that noise around them. It must have sounded like more than 300 people. Okay. The Midianite soldiers awoke, startled. It seemed as if there was noise everywhere and fire all around them. They would have felt they were completely surrounded. Dazed and confused, they stumbled about in the dark, into each other and over each other. And it wasn't long before they were fighting each other too. When all the fighting had stopped, the Midianite soldiers who were left ran away, convinced that they had been defeated by some great army. But it was only Gideon, his 300 men, and a God who was knew what he was doing all along. Fantastic, right, if you come off that bit. I'm going to hand over to Bex.
Right. Is that microphone, is that working? Can you hear me? Excellent. Okay, so that's the story of Gideon, which is a really good story. Thank you for your help. That I don't know about you, but I found that quite a moment, seeing all those torches lit. It helps us to realize how it would have felt to be there at the time. So that's a great story. It tells us how Gideon was chosen by God and how he led God's people to victory, which is very similar. The last family service that we had, we talked about Moses, and it was very similar because Moses was chosen by God and he also led God's people to victory. But it's also quite similar to the story of Moses, because if you remember, if you were here last time and if you know the story of Moses, you'll remember it wasn't quite that simple. So it wasn't just as simple as God saying, "I choose you, off you go, let's have some victory." There's a couple of things that happened during the story, a couple of things that we want to think about before we get to the victory part. So first of all, at the start of the story of Gideon, Gideon, as Lisa said, he was hiding in a wine press. He was threshing corn. Now, normally, he'd be doing that on the threshing floor, but he was hiding in a wine press. And why was he doing that? Well, Lisa told us, because his people, the Israelites, they had been being terrorized by another group of people called the Midianites. For 7 years, this had been going on. And the Midianites, what they'd been doing is they'd been coming into the Israelites' land. They'd been camping on their land. They'd ruined their crops. It says in the Bible they were like a swarm of locusts. And what locusts do is they consume all the vegetation around, they destroy crops. So that's what they were like. And they'd been doing that for 7 years. And the Israelites, they were hiding in caves in the mountains to hide from the Midianites. And so that's the situation that we're in. Also, I think Lisa said it in the story, when the angel first comes to Gideon, Gideon says, I've got a job for you. Gideon says to the angel, he says, what, me? He says, I am the least in my family. And my family is the weakest clan in the whole of Israel. So for Gideon, and this is the thing that I want you to remember, he was afraid. And his fear, it was real. It was justified. It was rational. He had a really, really good reason to be afraid. His people were being terrorized. They were hiding. He had a really, really good reason to be afraid. And as he said, he was weak. And so he had a good reason for being afraid. So, what about you? Maybe you might feel sometimes that perhaps God is calling you to do something. Maybe you think God has got a job for you. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe you might be afraid of other people. Maybe at school you might be afraid of being bullied. Maybe at work, maybe there's that colleague who you think is not going to be very nice to you. Maybe you might even be afraid of a more physical threat. So there are stories, I'm sure some of the adults here will know stories, of people who've been called to do God's work and they've gone to far off countries and there's been a real, real physical threat. There've been people who want to hurt them. And that fear is justified, it's real. So maybe that's something that you're afraid of. Or maybe you're afraid of not being good enough. We talked about that last family service. We talked about Moses. He was really afraid. He thought he wasn't good enough. Maybe you're a little bit afraid. Maybe you think you're too young. Maybe you think you're too old. Maybe you think you're not very good at something. You're not very skilled. Maybe you're not very strong. Gideon says that. He says, I am weak. And maybe all those fears are real, and you're right to have those fears. But, this is the point, and it was true for Gideon, and it's true for you as well, God can still call you, even if you're afraid, and even if those fears are real. Secondly, so we've said Gideon was afraid. He had really, really good reason to be afraid. But secondly, as Lisa said, God said to Gideon, he said, God is with you. He said, I am sending you. He said, I will be with you. He also said, don't be afraid. Again, that's very similar to the story of Moses, if you remember. God said to Moses, when Moses said, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, God said to him, I will be with you. I will look after you. Don't be afraid. Did you know it says in the Bible, it says don't be afraid or something similar. It says it over 100 times in the Bible. So God's very, very clear. Don't be afraid. So then the next point in the story, and we didn't get the whole story, so I'm going to give you a little bit more extra to the story. Firstly, in our story, God gives Gideon some instructions. In fact, the first instructions that he gives him, he tells him to tear down the altars. Now, what that means is, so the Israelites, they were worshipping other gods, and God wasn't very happy about that, and they had built, like, altars to these other gods. And God's first instruction to Gideon was, tear them down. Get rid of them. They shouldn't be doing this. Get rid of those altars. So God gives him some instructions. And what does Gideon do? Well, Gideon's afraid, like we've said, but he wants to follow God's instructions. So he does. He does tear down all those altars. Do you know what he does? He does it at night, so nobody can see him. He does it kind of in secret, so nobody knows that it's him, because he's really scared of being found out. Now, just incidentally, the people do find out that it was Gideon, and actually, they really want to hurt him. They want to kill him because he's done this thing. But, point being, he is afraid. He still follows God's instructions, even though he does it at night. Now, the next part of the story, again, Gideon, he's still scared. He's still afraid. He's still not sure. So what he does is he asks God for a little bit of proof. He says to God, well, if you really are God and if you really want me to do this thing, then I'm gonna do a little test for you. I'm going to do something and I want you to prove to me that you're really God and that you really want me to do this. And God does. He fulfills Gideon's test. I won't go into it now. You can read about it in the Bible. But God proves, in fact, more than once to Gideon that he is God and that what he wants Gideon to do is what he needs him to do. So, Gideon asks God for that proof, and God gives him the proof that he needs. And in fact, he even goes one better than that. He actually, again, we didn't hear this in the story, but before they attack the Midianites, God says to Gideon, he says, kind of, I think you might still be a little bit scared, so I'm going to give you a little bit of extra confidence. And he sends Gideon down the hill to have a look at the Midianite camp. And while he's there, Gideon hears some things that gives him just that little bit of extra confidence that he needs to follow God's instructions. So God does all of this. He provides the proof that Gideon needs. He provides him with that reassurance, with that extra confidence that he needs. And then, like Lisa said, next bit, God gives Gideon the instructions about his army. Gideon's got this massive army. He's got 32,000 men. And God says, too many. Reduce it. And he does what he does. And we go from 32,000 men, we go down to 10,000. Only 10,000 men. So that's the first reduction. And then God says to Gideon, still too many. Too many. Reduce it again. And it reduces from 10,000 down to 300. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Gideon, I'd be going, do you know, God, that doesn't make a great deal of sense. I don't really get it. Why are we doing that? The Midianite army, it was much, much bigger, like Lisa said. Why, God? Why are you doing that? Why are you getting rid of most of our soldiers? So poor old Gideon, I really feel for him at this point. He's been asked to do this really, really scary thing. He's been asked to go and attack the Midianite army. And then God just makes it even more difficult for him. But do you know what? He still did it. He still followed God's instructions. So maybe God is calling you and asking you to do something. Is he perhaps giving you some instructions as to what it is he wants you to do? Maybe you are afraid, like Gideon. Maybe your fear is justified, just like Gideon. But could you, maybe like Gideon, could you perhaps just step out in a small way to begin with? Like when Gideon tore down the altars, but he did it at night. He stepped out just in a little way. Perhaps could you do that? Step out in just that small way to begin with. Maybe like Gideon, you could ask God for a bit of proof first, for a bit of reassurance, for a bit of a confidence build, before you step out and do what it is that he's asking you to do. Because if God is calling you, if he has got a job for you, if you can trust him, and if you can follow his instructions, even if you're afraid, even if they make no sense, then God will be with you. That's what he's promised us. So now we come to the end of the story. And as we've heard, the result of the story was this amazing victory. The Midianites, they were defeated. First of all, they attacked each other, and then they ran away. And actually, the Bible tells us that after that, there was peace for the Israelites for 40 years. All the time that Gideon was alive, there was peace for all of that time after this victory. Now, the thing we really, really need to remember is that it was God's victory. It wasn't Gideon's. Gideon led the people, but he acted because God told him to. And he acted in God's strength. That was what led them to victory. Now, today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, that is when we remember what happened in Acts, when the Holy Spirit came and it came on the disciples. Now, in some ways, it's a bit of a similar story. The disciples, they were all together. Some people say they were in the upper room, but they were all together in one place. Now, it was a few weeks after Jesus had been crucified. It was after he'd come back to life, after he'd arisen to heaven. The disciples, almost certainly, they would have been facing persecution. There would have been people who wanted to hurt them. They were probably scared. Maybe they were hiding, a little bit like Gideon. But they were visited by God that day on Pentecost. They were visited by God. The Holy Spirit came. They were called by God. The Holy Spirit empowered them. It enabled them. It gave them power. And then what did they do? Like Gideon, they stepped out in faith and they stepped out in obedience. They did what God wanted them to do. again, just like Gideon, there were amazing results. First of all, on that particular day, on that Pentecost Sunday, the first amazing result, Peter, he preached to a massive crowd of people. That's the same Peter who a few weeks before had said, I don't know Jesus. No, he's no friend of mine. Same Peter, he preached to a massive crowd of people. 3,000 people were saved that day. People were healed. Amazing results. And then there were amazing ongoing results as well. That was the start. We call it the birthday of the church. That was the start of the church, kind of as we know it. The gospel spread across the whole world. It built the church. After that, we got Paul. We got Paul's journeys. Everything that has happened to spread God's word, that all came about after that day of Pentecost. It's the same thing. People were called. They perhaps were a little bit afraid, but they did what God told them, and it led them to this amazing, amazing result. So, what I want you to remember is, if you can trust God, if you can follow his instructions, even if you're afraid, even if your fear is justified and real, even if you only do it in a small way to start off with, even if you need to ask God for some proof, for some reassurance, first of all, even if God's instructions make no sense to you, what could God achieve through you? Maybe it might be telling people about him. Maybe it might be fighting injustice or unfairness. Maybe it might be helping within the church, helping with a ministry in church. So why not ask God today to see what he has in store for you? Lisa.
Okay, we've got another action. Yeah, the other action song. It's more of a kind of this staying sitting down kind of song. Do you want to come in?
Yes, sorry.
Do you want to borrow this?
So yes, another action song. Now, I don't want you to think that all action songs you have to be on your feet and jumping around, because you really, really don't. This is a very different kind of action song. It gives us a chance to reflect on what we've been talking about. Okay, I'm not going to teach you the actions. There's lots and lots of them, okay, so I don't expect you to try and do them all. The only one that I will mention is this is a song about being afraid. The action for fear or being afraid, and this is a British Sign Language action, is this. Imagine like you're holding a doll or a small child to you, and you're holding it and kind of comforting it like this. This is the action for being afraid or having fear. Okay? So we'll do that a few times in this song. That's the only one. The song goes through twice. Okay? The music will play. Lisa and I will do the actions. I would suggest you listen and watch the first time through. And the second time through, it's quite an easy song. If you want to sing along, then do. If you want to try some of the actions, you can do that too. Okay.
When you're sleeping with the lights on, God will stay watching over you. Of your own imagination, God is there watching over you. And every time you feel alone, he's with you as you cry. And every time you feel afraid, he's right there by your side. Yeah.
watching over you. When it's dark and you're scared of your own imagination, God is there watching over you. And every time you feel alone, He's with you as you cry. And every time you feel afraid, He's right there by your side.
Inside your service sheets, you should have some, in the middle, there are some post-it notes. So, has anybody not got one, or anyone near them not got one? Does anybody, there were some pens put round, does anybody need a pen or a pencil to write with? We've got some here. Pencils, come and help yourself. You've got some. We've got children here who can come round if you need a pen or a pencil or a post-it note. Can we all, everybody, has everybody got one? Speak now. Put your hand up if you haven't. Oh, look, thank you. You want one? Okay, or somebody there, yeah. So, now I want you to do something a bit different. I want you to turn your post-it note upside down so the sticky side is facing you. You wouldn't usually write on this side necessarily because you go like that with the sticky side. So you all need to write on the same side as the sticky side. You're going to have to start a little bit further down because you'll find you can't write where the stickiness is. Okay? So, I need you to now be thinking, I expect you've been thinking as Bex has been speaking, as you've been listening to the story, to be thinking about something that God might be asking you to do. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. He's not necessarily asking you to take 300 men and go and fight the Midianites or anything like that. But think about something that God is asking you to do. And then I want you to write it on the sticky side of your note. And then when you've done it, fold it in half. So you need one each, and you need to fold it in half And then if you hold it close to you, like this, close to your heart, because it's something you've written, then I will know you're ready to go. So get on. It's between you and God. If you want to put your hand round it so nobody else can see, like we do sometimes, it's just between you and God. Have a think. Have a talk to God about it. Have a think about something that God might be asking you to do. And you're a bit frightened of it. It's a bit challenging, doesn't it? Yeah, it's just a bit. Because we can be really frightened of little things. Okay? So there you are. Okay? And if you can't write it, then draw a picture of it. Or something that means something to you. It's only between you and God. And when you've finished, do that. Fold it in half and put it near to your heart so that I know that you've finished. All got it up near your hearts, because this is where it's coming from. It's something you're really frightened of. Your heart goes, because he's asking you, it might be you were that frightened, even though when your heart races, God asks you to do something and you're not sure about it. Right, now, it's stuck together now. It's stuck together. So on the outside of your piece of paper, I want you to write a reminder to yourself that in all of this, God is always with me. So on the outside of your piece of paper, the folded piece of paper, write, God is always with me. Because he's not asking you. This is something God wants you to do. He's not asking you to do it on your own. He's asking you to do it with him. And he will be with you, just like he was with Gideon, just like he was when Peter did that sermon on the first Pentecost. God was with him. And if God is with us, he can do some pretty amazing things. So, now, we're going to hold our pieces of paper and we're going to say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you that we can know that you are always with us. We thank you that what we can follow you, whatever you ask us to do. Help us to always be listening to your little prompts as to what you want us to say and do and how we behave. Thank you that we can truly know through your Holy Spirit that you're in us and can work through us. Just help us to remember this every day. And we're going to say amen. You ready? Amen! So you can put that in your bag. I've still got the coin we had in my bag. You can put that in your bag or in your pocket, and when you pull it out, you can remember what God's asked you to do, and as you look at it, you know that's between you and God, but as you can look at it, you can remember that in it, God is always with you.
Okay, we have one final song. We're going to close the service by singing Cornerstone.
Jesus' name.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When darkness fails
to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the whale. My anchor holds within your name.
Christ alone,
cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless and before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Which one are we doing? Fast.
Yeah, I have mine.
Okay.
On nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust in sweetest frame,
but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ,
my hope is built on nothing less
than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone,
cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless and before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all.
Hey.